A new conditioning network that we can consider is related to the generation of logic signals. This is a situation that we have already dealt in the course and is related to the light that can be emitted by a suitable source, for example a LED diode, that arrives into the base of a transistor, better a phototransistor. That is a device that when lighted becomes active and will be crossed by a current. A situation like this was described, for example, when we considered that transportation tape on which several objects were put, and we said that there was a LED phototransistor couple, every object crossing the line, the beam between the LED and the phototransistor would produce a commutation in the output signal of the phototransistor, and this can be acquired by a microprocessor so as to detect the passage of the object, so as to count it or to reveal that the object is present. The phototransistor provides exactly this kind of signal. That is, when lighted, the output is active and we can detect it as a logic level high or low, depending on the particular characteristics of the circuit we add to the phototransistor. But the general idea is that the light produces the same effect as to insert a current generator between the base and the collector. I don't want to go too much into the details about this because this is a typical electronic topic and this is another kind of course. But the idea is that one, and this point is very important because shows us another possible kind of usage of the phototransistor, not only as a logic signal generator, but also as a transducer that provides us a way to measure the quantity of light that is given by a certain source. In fact, if we add, like shown in slide 14, a resistor to the upper part of the transistor to the collector, and we connect the resistor between the power supply and the collector itself, we can say that the voltage that we can read in the collector output of the phototransistor is equal to the product of the resistor that we have chosen time a current that is crossing it. Since this is the equivalent electronic circuit of the phototransistor when lighted, the current that crosses the resistor will split in two components. The first will go into the basis of the phototransistor to activate it, and the second will cross the phototransistor from the collector to the emitter points. We have therefore two components, but we remember that the ratio between the collector emitter current and the basic current in all the transistors is a constant and is called the beta factor. This justifies the final expression V equal to minus R that multiplies 1 plus beta IE0. IE0 is the current, the quantity of light that shots the basis of the transistor itself, causing its activation. So, on the basis of the voltage we read through the analog to digital converter by means of a microprocessor, Dividing this value by r time 1 plus beta, we obtain an estimation of the current that is in turn related to the quantity of light that has been sent from the source towards the phototransistor, providing a measurement of it. To be very precise, very accurate, we should make a consideration that is related to the fact that the light we are considering is made up by photons, and photons will excite the charges in the phototransistor, determining an accumulation of charges in the basis of the phototransistor, and therefore the activation of itself. We know that the relationship between a quantity of charge and a current is that the charge is the integral of the current in the time. So this could suggest us that there is a delay in the response of the transistor due to the need of the accumulation of the charges in the basis of the phototransistor for achieving enough current to activate the device itself. And this is true. But clearly, we are talking about phenomena that are related to the quantistic quantum mechanics nature of such a kind of devices. So, when we say delay, we are talking of very small quantities of time. This to say that to be very precise, we should say that there is a pole in such a kind of device, talking in terms of transfer function in frequency. But this pole is located at very high frequencies because the relative constant of time is very, very, very short, and in any case negligible with respect to the physical phenomena that are under measurement. So we can consider that the transfer function, the response of such a kind of device, is constant at least up to the normal frequencies at which this device is used, that are 1 kHz, but even more. And now let's come to a very big problem that we have when we must convert a signal that comes from a transducer, into which the power supply is not continuous, as in many cases, but is provided through alternate current output signals. This is the case of, for example, the differential linear position transducer we have already seen, but many other transducers are supplied in such a way. All those that feature components like capacitors and inductors are involved in such a kind of considerations. What is the problem? The problem is that the signal in output will be sinusoidal. That is, its own value will depend on the time evolution of the signal. On the other hand, we know that the interesting information from the measurement point of view, from the microprocessor point of view, is in the peak value that will depend on the physical magnitude that we want to measure. So this double dependence or double possible source of a variation in the signal is not good for us, because every time the signal changes, we are not able to know if it has changed due to the physical phenomenon or due to the evolution in the time of the sine function. We have to eliminate the dependence on this kind of a function, the dependence on the sine waveform. And to do this, we will see many conditioning networks depending on the particular needs and requirements we have, in particular complexity, consumption, and the need of the identification of the direction into which the physical magnitude is changing. Let's start from the simplest idea we can have, that is shown in slide 15, into which we have a diode that is sent to the positive input of an operational amplifier in buffer configuration, at the end of which, at the exit of which, we have a low-pass filter. This is a typical architecture of the system into which the diode provides the rectification and the low-pass filtering provides the part that eliminates the dependence on the sinusoidal waveform behavior. In fact, due to the presence of the diode, the sinusoidal signal that comes from the transducer, shown in blue in the slide, will be passed in the output part of the circuit, in the output basically of the operational amplifier, only when able to polarize the diode. And this clearly happens in the positive waveform that activates the diode, since the anode will be greater than the cathode. In the negative waveform, this is not possible because the diode should be crossed by a current that would be directed in the opposite direction with respect to it. Consider that the resistor connected between the plus input of the amplifier and the ground is necessary due to the fact that otherwise the current crossing the diode would not have any way, any point into which to discharge. So that resistance is absolutely mandatory. We said that in the negative part of the sinusoidal waveform, we don't have any output from the operational amplifier. So the signal that arrives to the RC circuit, the low-pass filter, is the one shown in the CHAN color, again in slide 15, that is a sequence of positive waves and a null signal in the part of the period corresponding to the negative waves. We know that the RC circuit will transform such a kind of signal into a signal basically constant. The constant value will be close to the peak value of the sinusoidal waveform, depending on the fact that the constant of time of the low-pass filter is much higher than the period of the sinusoidal waveform, as shown in the slide. In this case, the final output will be very similar to the third diagram we show in the slide 15. The ripple, that is the descent of the voltage up to when it goes up again, that is the oscillation around the peak in this figure, is augmented, let's say, to make to understand the effect, but the real behavior in the circuit is very negligible. So we can say that the output is very, very, very set to the peak value of the sinusoidal waveform that depends in turn on the variation of the physical magnitude that we want to measure. So in such a way, we have overtaken the problem we said before. The output signal depends also on the sinusoidal waveform. Such a kind of circuit is very simple, is very direct, immediate to build, to carry out. It features a couple of drawbacks. The first is probably the most critical one, because this circuit needs to have an input signal that is much higher than the voltage drop in the diode. We know that the polarization of the diode is possible only when the gap between anode and diode is at least 0.7 volts. So E, that is a signal that comes from the transducer, must be greater than this quantity, otherwise the diode will be not polarized and the circuit will not work. This is not always the case, because we know that in some transducers the output is very low. We said that it is necessary to amplify the output of the transducer, and if it is possible, the problem is overtaken, otherwise this circuit is, let's say, in trouble. But even when amplified, we have to consider that there are small values of the physical magnitude that will turn out in small values of the output voltage provided by the transducer. And for all these values, this kind of circuit doesn't provide a significant output. And this is clearly a problem. The other drawback, let's say, of this circuit, surely less important, is that the available power, the available signal provided by the transducer is used only for what concerns half of its potential value. So we are saying that we have a spread in terms of signal of energy provided, and we will see other circuits that overtake also such a kind of problem. A suitable solution is provided in the slide 16 by another circuit that is shown in the upper part of the slide itself. Then in the lower part we have a suitable improvement of it, just to overtake some problems. Let's start from the first elementary version. We have an operational amplifier. We see that the operational amplifier is configured as it would be a buffer, but there is a diode that is connected in output to the operational amplifier, between the output of the amplifier itself and the point into which the buffer connection is connected also to a RC circuit, another low pass circuit. If the signal that is provided to such a kind of circuit and comes from a transducer is connected to the positive input of the operational amplifier, and remember that it is sinusoidal, during the positive waveform we will have that the diode is active. In other words, consider that the operational amplifier, when it starts to work, tries to amplify the difference of the signals that are present in its own inputs. And consider that in this moment the diode is not active, so the buffer connection is not present, let's say, and the RC part of the circuit is not crossed by any current. So we could say that the A point in that moment is zero, is at the ground. The positive input of the operational amplifier will be positive, so the amplification of the difference in the inputs put in the output will concern the anode of the diode, and we have a situation into which the anode of the diode is greater than the cathode of the diode, so the diode will polarize. After the polarization of the diode, we know that we can consider a diode in those conditions as a short circuit, so the connection between A and the output of the operational amplifier will be active, and the amplifier will be a real buffer, so the signal in the positive input of the amplifier is physically connected to the RC low pass filter, and the behavior of the output signal will be the same as shown in figure 16. That is, the RC circuit will follow the positive waveform very well up to the peak, then the discharge phase will happen with the time constant RC of that circuit that will be taken much higher than the period of the signal itself. In that case, we are able to reproduce the same behavior in time shown in slide 15, and clearly we eliminate the dependence of the signal on the sinusoidal waveform, so measuring through the microprocessor the variations in the peak value of the signal due to the physical phenomenon that we are measuring. In the negative waveform, on the other hand, the buffer configuration will break out. In fact, when passing through the zero point, and immediately after, when the sinusoidal signal becomes negative, we will have that the plus, the positive input of the operational amplifier, will be lower than the negative one. And this will imply that the anode of the diode will become lower than the cathode, and the diode will be not active. This will interrupt the connection between output of the amplifier and A, and the buffer configuration will be no more active. This means that the output of the circuit would be theoretically a ground, but this ground point should be reached, as we said before, through a discharge phase of the charge accumulated into the capacitor, and since the constant of time RC of the low pass filter is very high, this discharge phase is very slow and will reach the successive wave positive waveform. But what it is important to highlight is that from one point of view, the circuit works well and works as expected. From another point of view, the output of the operational amplifier will be in this phase equal to the gain A, the amplification factor, that multiplies the difference of the two inputs, positive and negative. And this will bring the operational amplifier in saturation. So, when the next positive phase of the input signal will start, we will have the need to make the amplifier to exit from its own saturation. And we know from the course of electronics that this exit could be very slow. In other words, we have highlighted one of the main limitations of such a kind of circuit. Due to the saturation of their operational amplifier in the negative phase of the input signal, the switch between negative and positive, negative and positive, could be really slow. And this affects the velocity of the alternate signal that can be provided to such a kind of circuit, and in particular to the operational amplifier. Therefore, this circuit is suitable for those signals coming from the transducer that are not too fast in alternating between positive and negative phases. If, on the other hand, we are in presence of very fast commutations of the input signal that arise from the transducer, we can modify the circuit as shown in the lower part of the slide itself. In this case, you see that the input signal is called E and is provided to the negative input of the operational amplifier. The positive input instead is connected to the ground. The negative input of the operational amplifier is connected from one side to a resistor called R1, and from the other side to two branches that will end both into the output of the operational amplifier itself. For sake of simplicity, this circuit has not been completed with the RC low-pass filter as in the previous version, just to preserve the space and to make the slide more comprehensible. But remember that even in this circuit we have to add a RC low-pass circuit, otherwise the rectification is not complete. But let's concentrate on the reactions that we have carried out in the operational amplifier. Two branches will be alternatively active depending on the particular phase of the input signal we are considering, the positive or the negative. In fact, we see that in every branch, in every part of the circuit, we have a diode, D1 and D2, but the two diodes are connected one in opposition with respect to the other one. Let's imagine that we are in the positive waveform, in the positive part of the signal. So we have to imagine that the current will go from the E input point through the resistor R1 towards the minus input of the operational amplifier that is connected to the ground. Remember that the two inputs of the operational amplifiers are virtually grounded. And from that point, we'll cross the resistor R2, passing through the diode D2, and finally discharging to the ground through the successive low-pass filter that we are not seeing in this picture. The diode D2 is oriented in a direction that is suitable with the direction of the current in this phase of the waveform. So the output in this case will be the product of the current E multiplied by R2 divided by R1, the ratio between the two resistors, of course with the negative sign because the reaction is negative. In the negative waveform, in the negative part of the input signal, the current will go in the opposite direction, that is from the minus input of the operational amplifier towards the E input point. And that current can come only from the part of the circuit that includes the diode D1, that in fact is oriented toward the same direction. In other words, the part that includes the diode D2 is not active in this moment, is not involved in the passage of the current. But even in this case, the reaction is closed, the reaction is active, because we have a part of circuit in which the current passes, and the operational amplifier in this case plays a role similar to a buffer. But what it is important is that in a different way with respect before, the operational amplifier will not saturate. So we have avoided that potentially slow exit from the saturation phase that affected the previous version of the circuit. The price is to, let's say, carry out a little bit more complicated circuit, adding more electronic components. Since the operational amplifier does not saturate, we can reach, we can work with frequencies that are higher than before, so we can reach kilohertz. Of course, we can't reach megahertz with circuits like these, but the previous problem has been overtaken. Consider that during the negative phase into which the output of this part of the signal is zero, okay, we have to remember that the circuit must be completed with the RC, the low pass filter. So if it is true that the point A is zero, we have to remember that the capacitor has been charged in the previous half period. So in this phase it is discharging, and the overall behavior of the final output signal is the same as shown in figure 15. So we have again eliminated the dependence on the sinusoidal waveform, and we can read the variation of the signal as only due to the physical phenomenon that we are measuring. But the capability of fast response of such a kind of circuit has been clearly improved with respect to the previous version. That is in any case good, but only for slow signals. Both the architectures, both the networks proposed, as we have said, overcome the problem that the first architecture proposed, the so-called single diode rectification circuit, had, that was related to the threshold 0.7 volts that must be overtaken to have a real activity in the circuit, and in any case the subtraction of this quantity of voltage to the input signal provided by the transducer to have a readable and manageable signal in output from the low pass filter part of the circuit toward the analog to digital converter, and then from that to the microprocessor. Okay, this ends the lesson for today. I hope that you and your families will pass these holidays in the best possible way. So I give you the appointment to next lesson that will be on Tuesday, April 16. And to you and your beloved ones, my very warm wishes for a healthful and a serene Easter.